At the end of November, I was speaking at Huron Chapel in Auburn, Ontario, as part of my role with our denomination, the Evangelical Missionary Church of Canada, where I serve on a part-time basis as regional minister. And following the church service, I was invited to have lunch with one of the leaders and their family. They have a farm with some land in that area, and when I asked him how his crops did that year, he responded this way. He said, after a couple of hard years, it was a really good year. And as I was driving my combine and harvesting the corn, I thought to myself, look at all the good work that I have done. And then he paused and with a wry smile, he said, no, I didn't say that. He said, I thought about the fact that all I do is put seed in the ground. I plant the seed and then we wait. And somehow God sees fit to make things grow and produce. God takes all the unpredictability, he said, of the elements of the growing season and produces a crop. So I can't take any credit for it. Rather, we thank God for allowing us to benefit from his work and the privilege of working with him in it. You know, what I love about that conversation is that it relayed the importance of our responsibility, and it gave allowance for the mystery of God's activity in keeping with the Apostle Paul's words about the ministry of the gospel. One plants, another sows, but it's God who makes things grow. And so as we start a new year, many people set goals and resolutions. Maybe you're one of them. Many of those ambitions often change year to year based on things that we would like to see, outcomes that we want to try to predetermine. And yes, you know, sometimes it is necessary to start over, to start fresh. However, for those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, there's an invitation to something different. That is allowing the presence of Christ to further develop your life and shape your character, taking what he's started and causing it to grow. These ancient words have ever-present vitality for our everyday circumstances, and it should deepen our humility to allow the character and life of Christ to inform and direct our lives. We have responsibility in being rooted, being built up and strengthened, which results in a growing heart of gratitude. Today we want to talk about being rooted. In the weeks to come, we'll learn about being built up and strengthened in the key or core elements of our faith in Jesus Christ. And as we do, our prayer is that we will grow and we will overflow with thanksgiving to God. This was Paul's prayer for them right from the beginning. And if you have your Bible or Bible app open, you can turn back to chapter 1 where we read this. Starting in verse 9, we did a learning series earlier this fall called In Christ Alone through the book of Colossians. And I'll retrace some groundwork that we did that flow from Paul's prayer to the Colossian church in verses 9 to 12, where we read these words. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. When we read these words, we read about a gospel-shaped life is the work of faith, and we call that intercession. We also read about a gospel-shaped life is a work of love. That's our expression, our demonstration of that. And the gospel-shaped life is a work of hope. And that's where we find inspiration. Intercession is our dependence upon God the Father through prayer. The reminder is we need to be continually talking to Jesus about the activity of the Spirit of God in our lives and in the lives of others. And this is exactly what Paul clearly commits to God and communicates back to the Colossian church. I'm praying for you. I'm talking to Jesus about you. And he does it over and over and over again. He prays continually for them, and he asks God to continually work in them. You see, the gospel takes root in our lives through the divine mystery of the Spirit at work in us. And prayer, our conversations with God, is a humble acknowledgement and a dependence upon the fact that God is the one who transforms lives. Secondly, the idea of expression is always in love and in genuine care for the other above self. A gospel-shaped life knows that apart from love, our every effort is meaningless. As we grow in confident assurance, we grow more expressive in our efforts and in the effectiveness of those efforts to reveal the character of Christ. We are confident to love sacrificially because of our certainty of our identity in Christ. That is faith. And because we have this great assurance, then we have established what is required to have a hope that is defined. That's where inspiration comes from which we are able to love that and then reveals this hope-filled perspective. The reality of our everyday lives tells us that we do grow weak and we do need the strength that God gives, that we do grow tired, and that we need to learn to his pace and his rhythms of rest for endurance. We do grow frustrated and weary, and we even grow angry, and therefore we need to learn his patience, a long suffering to be able to see the big picture beyond the struggles of the day. And then we need to learn to take those small steps within that. A key indicator of our hope is the capacity to be thankful. In thankful, we acknowledge the presence of God in our current circumstance. To be thankful is an expression of humility, recognizing God as the source of all good things and the one who gives us a small portion of the greater things that are to come for those who find their identity in Christ. Intercession, expression, and inspiration, they're all outworkings of the gospel. It's allowing the good news of the kingdom to inform our lives. And so as we continue to read through, we realize that Paul's prayer and now these instructions here in Colossians chapter 2 were designed to give these first followers of Jesus and us the capacity then to discern and then resist false teachings. In Paul's day, the false teachings were coming mostly from the influence of religious legalism, which were requiring certain outward behaviors and practices, much like the Jewish practices of old. In order, they would say, to be found pleasing to God, you had to do certain things. False teachings, as we discover, are not those who are opposed to God. Rather, through the Old Testament and New Testament, we are warned especially of those individuals and philosophies or movements that twist, distort, malign, and diminish or deny the power of God, particularly as it reflects upon the promise and the power of the work of Christ. So how about today? What does a false teaching look like today? What are some of those kinds of philosophies? And we could probably make a long list, but here's a couple that I want you to think of. God helps those who help themselves. God loves us more if we do good. We will be judged according to our accomplishments. Anything that feels good must be good. Whoever disagrees with us must be against us. Our comfort is a measure of God's blessing. these philosophies like materialism, individualism, autonomy, they're all earmarks of a postmodern, post-Christian Canadian society. And all of these can be shaped and promoted in very appealing ways. Churches and followers of Jesus are not immune to live according to these kinds of false ideals. We can get caught up in doing good just for the sake of doing good, as opposed to responding to the life and truth of Christ that is at work in us and among us. Paul's prayer then in Colossians chapter 1 invites the question, how does good fruit then grow? How are we strengthened? How can we endure and persevere? And so the answer then comes here in chapter 2, by being rooted in Christ. That comes first, before being built up, before strengthening happens, before endurance. We need to be rooted in Christ. Rootedness requires submission. What does that entail? Well, who better to consult than the experts of rootedness? Tree systems. You ever talk to the trees? Today we're going to talk to their roots. And here's what we learn from tree systems. In most major tree types, the majority of the root systems are within the top couple feet below the ground level. And from that, we learn three things. One is that rootedness involves mystery. The roots of a tree are an intricate system where every big or small root has a purpose. The roots work together for the good of the tree, and they even communicate with other root systems. How do they do that? I got no idea. These are the things that God knows and that he does. In fact, as we read what comes before this, Paul reminds us that we have to allow room for God to work in ways that are known to him, but may be mysterious to us. This mystery comes alive as we allow the life of Christ to work in our lives through the Spirit. Listen to what Paul says here just prior to this. He says, My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. So we have to allow for the mystery in understanding and being able to relate to Christ. We gain his knowledge for our lives. Secondly, we need to learn this, that abundance begins in the dirt. How many people are aware that root systems happen in the dirt? And those tree roots help in the dirt. The dirt helps to filter out the unnecessary or harmful influences while allowing that which is most useful for the nutrients, for the growth of the tree, for the strength of the tree to be absorbed. Those things take place underground, in the dirt. They're not easily observable. The character of Christ is conveyed to us and through us, even through some of the dirt that happens in our life. In the dirt life of our root systems, we are being held by Christ. If we are held by Christ and then we are in Christ, then we acknowledge that he is the one who transforms the losses and the damaging influences of life. And he continually conveys his character so that we may be built up and strengthened. Listen to how Paul communicates this, starting in verse 13. He says, when you were dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your faith, your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgives us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away. He has nailed it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus takes away the sin of the world so that we might experience his life. And that happens in the dirt, in the messiness of life. He stepped into that. Thirdly, rootedness requires patience. Maturity happens as roots develop. It's not very easy to discern, and sometimes slow, consistent growth happens during difficulty. We need to be reminded that our roots are still at work. The evidence of that work may take some time for us to observe, but it develops over seasons, like winters before spring, and even years. Despite the unpredictability of life above the surface, like spray bottles and hair dryers, wind and rain and storms, despite the unpredictability of life above the surface, it is the consistent influence of Christ upon our root systems that bring the flourishing that we all desire. Every year at Christmas time, we have these poinsettia plants in here that add to the festive decorations of our space. How many people love seeing those? Maybe you have them in your home. How many of you understand just how hard it is to keep those things alive in a place, especially in a place that has no light and no natural water supply and only dry, dead air? All for 1 hour a week or so. So one of our biggest prayers over the Christmas season is, God, please keep these plants alive, because the people love it. And so let me share with you two secret words. You ready? It's a secret, so you gotta receive it and then don't share it anywhere else. Okay, you ready? Miracle grow. Miracle grow. So my wife, Amanda, who is in the office here a few days a week, she moves these plants around the building, chasing slivers of sunbeam, and then feeds the Miracle-Gro. She picks off the dying leaves and then puts them out here, and hopefully they stay for 90 minutes and they make it till another week and another week and maybe another week. So she's trying to feed those root systems so that the whole plant can flourish. How can we then flourish? How can we flourish in our faith? Wouldn't it be good if there's something that we could sprinkle in there? How about a little TLC? Little TLC. T, truth. Allow God's truth to influence your life. Allow God's truth to influence your life. Let me read for you, if you can turn there if you'd like, Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. You know, many people start their year with goals of reading the Bible, or maybe church service attendance, doing so more or more often or more consistently. And however few can sustain it and relegate the privilege and the freedom of interacting with the God who created us and created the universe, who knows us better than anybody else, it gets relegated to a very low priority. Often because we think, oh, I tried that, it didn't work. And so because we're looking for immediate results. So let me remind you of this. There is majesty in the mundane. There is revelation that occurs in the routine. There is sacred in the simple. It's not about reading more or doing more or attending more. But what is our, are we recognizing that we are meeting with God as we open His Word? That He is enriching our root system so that our lives may be built up and strengthened. There is divine power in God's truth. Psalm 1 reminds us of regular interaction with the Word of God. And if you continue to read through it, it also reminds us that there is benefit in helping others, to helping one another grow according to that truth. But make no mistake, for those who continue to read the rest of the psalm, the company that we keep, the influences that we have, they inform our character, which affects our actions and stunts our growth. Truth, T-L, love. Remind yourself of God's love. In Ephesians chapter 3, we read these words. I pray that out of His glorious riches, that He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray, this is Paul, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Your doubts can defeat you. But God's love is powerful enough to sustain you. And let me say that again. Your doubts can defeat you. It's okay to have doubts, but don't let them defeat you. But God's love is powerful to sustain you. In the same manner that Paul prayed for the Colossians and gave them these instructions, he conveys the same thing to these other people in Ephesus. He says, use this miracle grow. Truth and love. Let me ask you this. How could your conversations with God, how could your prayer life change if you remembered that you're coming and you get to speak with somebody who loves you so deeply and He wants to powerfully work the character of Christ into your life so that you will be strengthened to accomplish His will, that you would join with Him and with others in sharing that faith, and to do so in greater ways than any of your individual efforts could ever achieve on their own. I find that personally motivating. I hope that you do as well. T was what? L was what? C is connection. Truth, love, and connection. Stay connected during trials or difficulty. In Jeremiah chapter 17, we read these words. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Jeremiah 17. You see, when we are rooted in Christ, we can have confidence, not in ourselves, what we can do, or our own ambitions, our goals, but in the faithfulness of God, knowing that He is in control. Fear and worry do not need to define our lives in the face of uncertainty or challenges or trials. We don't need to be afraid by the sudden appearance of storms or winds or opposition. And even periods of drought can be hard to handle. because sometimes they bring unwelcome change. Yet in the midst of that, we being rooted in Christ means that we benefit from his strength in our weakness, from his confidence, from having confidence in his love, the love of God the Father. And just as Jesus was sustained and resisted the devil in the wilderness according to the fullness of the word of God, so too can we yield to his spirit at work in forming our lives against the temptations of this world. And just as he suffered, Jesus suffered and died so that the power of God might be revealed through his life, so too can we entrust ourselves to him who so powerfully works in all who call upon his name, Jesus, the Lord. Truth, love, and connection. A little TLC on a regular basis strengthens our root systems. When you are rooted in Christ, your life becomes a miracle that God desires to grow. You make room and opportunity for him to raise up the life of Christ in you and through you. Do you want that in 2024? I want that for you. Let's pray together. So, Father, as we come to you and to your word, and we recognize, God, that as a people, we desire at this time of year to set a path. And so for all those who you listen to their thoughts and their prayers, who desire to strengthen their relationship with you, God, would you lead them according to your truth? Would you surround them with reminders of your love? And would you hold them, keeping them connected, that the life of Christ would be made known to them? Father, we are people who often struggle in our weakness. We need your strength. We are people who are often want to make radical change, but Father, would you help us to remember that you will fulfill and complete that which you have begun? And so would you help us to pause and give thanks to the good work that you have started in our lives? We thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray perhaps for those as well that you that may be here or you will send us to that do not find their lives rooted in Christ. They do not see their identity as being in Christ. They have not received Christ as their Savior. Father, we pray that the way would be made clear, that seed would be planted and it would indeed grow roots that would be fed by the life and the truth of Christ. May today be a day where salvation comes to those we care about, those you send us to, those in need of Jesus. Guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.